Now, I don't know. I'm going to assume that most all of you at this point, as I've tried to build this study up, you have a copy of the book. If you don't have a copy of the book, much of what we're going to talk about tonight, we're going to have on the screen. But I want you to listen carefully, because what we're going to say tonight is going to help us, I hope, to dive into the things we want to study throughout this book. Now, when we'd studied the subject of history and geography, frankly, I was not a fan of history when I was growing up. I didn't care much for history. But as I have gotten a little bit older, it's quite intriguing to me to see what not only the biblical history entails, but also where it happened and the lessons that can be gleaned from studying about where these things occurred. History and geography of the Bible. Now, in our study tonight, we're going to be using this material to just introduce some things. And in our first lesson, I want you to look at the table of contents. The table of contents. You know, there's so many things that can be learned from the table of contents. As far as organization of our study is concerned, I want you to look there. Lesson one. We're going to describe man as an intelligent being, meaning very simply that God communicated with man. And we're going to talk about that hopefully tonight. In lesson number two, we're going to be talking about the land of Palestine and the land surrounding that as we discuss a brief look at the Bible lands. Now, chapter or lesson number three, we're going to be looking at the geography of Palestine, especially so. They've all been taken, Lisa. You may want to either borrow one, someone have one she can use, and we can kind of double up if we need to. I can get some more. But when we study about the geography of Palestine, we're going to go into that detail. Okay? Excellent. Very good. Very good. We're going to have two lessons on that. Now, I want you to see how these are grouped. As we talk about the geography of Palestine, we're going to talk about that at some length because many Bible events occurred there, both Old and New Testament Bible events. But when you look at lesson number five, we're going to have a review of the description of Palestine. So I want you to see these lessons are going to be grouped together. Often when we study a particular topic, we get to a section where we have questions over that topic, and we're going to group these lessons in that way. The second segment I want to look at begins with lesson six, the Old Testament lands. And then in lesson number seven, obviously, the New Testament lands. And then we're going to be talking about dating Bible events. Now, why is dating Bible events so important to our study, and in particular, understanding the scheme of redemption? All right, elaborate. All right. All right. Those are specific examples. I want you to think, all of you, to think about a more general application. These are very specific. I think you can see specific ones in Ezekiel and Daniel and so forth. But what I want to do in our study, rather than to look at the details of some of these specifics, I want you to see arrows. Just draw a line consideration and see arrows from this event pointing to this one, this event pointing to this one. And we're going to capitalize upon primarily one event or perhaps some that are surrounding that. But we're going to look at all of these Old Testament things pointing to that. And I think that will be helpful because we've got to get those in order or the chronology simply will not fit. I want to say more about that. David and then Terry, please. All right. Yes. Yes, we're going to be pointing to that as the fulfillment of where we're going with most of these. But when we go back to the beginning, Genesis 3:15, Abraham, Genesis 12, we come to Isaac in Genesis 24, Jacob in Genesis 26, and Judah in Genesis 49. When we look at the Exodus, we're going to put those on a timeline, and it's much like what we're doing, on a timeline, and point to these all occurring over in this immediate time frame. And I think that's going to be helpful to us, Lynn. Yes, especially when we get to the period of the kings. We're going to see not only what was happening in Israel, we're going to see what was happening, and we'll discuss this, during the divided kingdom, Israel and Judah. But we're not just going to focus on what the people of God were doing. We're going to see, laid alongside, what other nations round about them were doing and how that affected the people of God. And we're going to try to keep the dating, the chronology, straight so that we can effectively study that. Dating Bible events. Sometimes we look at that and say, well, that sounds hard. Well, I don't want it to be hard. I want it to be informative, and hopefully it'll help our understanding. Lesson number 9, the book of beginnings. We're going to be talking, obviously, about the book of Genesis and the things that began in Genesis. We're going to be talking about the creation. We're going to be talking about man, law, marriage, the transgression of law, the beginning of the scheme of redemption. That's what Genesis is about. We're going to study the promises made to Abraham. In fact, there were 3 promises made to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. What were they? All right. And the predominant one that finds fulfillment in the New Testament is the seed promise. Okay? And we're going to focus on that in our study. In that portion of text, we're going to talk about Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, one of the, if not the, in fact, I think it is, the longest running narrative in the Old Testament is the lessons that we learn about Joseph. And then with lesson 12, you see, again, we're going to review that portion of our study, review of the book of Genesis. So if you want to make some marks in your table of contents, that'll help you to see where we're going. Lesson number 13, the covenant people of God, who they are. In lesson 14, waiting for a generation to die, we're going to be talking about Numbers 14, 21, and so forth through the book of Numbers, while that generation died in the wilderness. Then in lesson 15, review of the Exodus and the wandering in the wilderness. Now that takes care of that generation. And then lesson number 16, they enter into Canaan under the leadership of Joshua, the conquest of the land of Canaan. And then, as Joshua leads them into the land, we'll see that that was fulfilled under the leadership of Joshua, just exactly as God had promised. And then we will review this portion of text, including a review of the book of Joshua. Lesson 19, we're going to be talking about the early judges, later judges in lesson number 20, and then a review of the judges. And by the way, how long did that period of the judges last? Pardon me? Close, little less, about 305 or plus thereabouts years. So we're going to study that in our study. Then we're going to talk about the period of the United Kingdom. We're going to look at Israel and Judah being ruled over by one king. We'll talk about Saul, the first king. And then we'll talk about David, the second king, a man after God's own heart. And then we'll talk about Solomon and the extent of his kingdom. And, of course, then we'll have a review of the United Kingdom. And then in our next study, we'll be talking about an overview of the divided kingdom. After Rehoboam's blunder, the son of Solomon, he divided the kingdom. And we'll note then the introduction of idolatry with the first king of the northern ten tribes, Jeroboam. So then we're going to look at the chart of the kings beginning on lesson 27. Now, if you've not studied the period of the kings, sometimes we look at this and say, well, I can't pronounce their names. I can't keep up with the lineage. I don't know if it was the northern kingdom or the southern kingdom that's being discussed. Well, don't get confused, because there was a particular northern king that married a particular woman, and this particular man had a brother by a particular name, and they had a son that also bore his name, and so I don't want you to become confused. But we're going to walk our way through that and see that this is an exciting period of time when we study the kings, part 1, part 2, part 3, and then we'll talk about the fall of the northern kingdom as Samaria, the capital of the northern kingdom, fell in 722 B.C. And then, about 130-something years later, we'll see that Judah fell as the Babylonians conquered the city of Jerusalem. And then, of course, we'll have a study of the divided kingdom, a review of that period. Now, after the period of captivity, Terry, this is where we're getting into the study of Daniel and Ezekiel as these discuss these things. The period of captivity. We know that young Daniel, you've been studying Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the prophet Ezekiel became captives during this period of time. Now, God had said through the prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 44 and the beginning of chapter 45, that there's going to be another kingdom. And the man's name who's going to rule over that kingdom, the man's name is Cyrus. And Cyrus is going to write a decree, and he's going to allow you to go back to your homeland. Now, the thing that makes that so exciting is Cyrus had not been born yet. In fact, it was about 200 years before Cyrus was born. And the thing that makes that really interesting is it was a considerable amount of time before the Persian Empire even existed, much less had a king over it named Cyrus. And so we're going to find that interesting. Cyrus did indeed rise to power. He did indeed sign a proclamation to release the Jews, and then Jerusalem was rebuilt. We note that Haggai the prophet led the people in the rebuilding of the temple about 520 to 516 B.C., and then Nehemiah led in the rebuilding of the walls around the city of Jerusalem about 444 B.C. Now, these are exciting periods of time as well, because God had said to Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 30 in the first 10 verses that when you come into the land and when you begin to worship idols, then you will be taken into captivity, and when you repent, I will restore you into the land. Now, a condition of that is, in verse 10, you must keep the commandments and statutes of the ordinances of the book of this law, which tells us that the law of Moses would be read in their hearing, and once again they would submit under the law of Moses, and this restoration then would be a reality. So these things are quite important. And to get these events in chronological order is absolutely crucial to help us to see the grand scheme of God to save your soul. You see, all of these things necessary to bring Jesus into the world, that he might live and that he might die. Now, when we close with the Old Testament book of Malachi, there's a period of silence. About 400 years, God did not communicate with man. Did not communicate with man. Now, that's an exciting period as well. During this time, the people of God did not just cease to exist. There was indeed a kingdom, a king that ruled during that period of time, history during 400 years, much history during 400 years. When we look at the history of the United States, how long has the United States even existed? Just over 200 years. Can you imagine what would be in 400 years? And how that things might change among God's people. But we've got a nation of people. They didn't just cease to exist. What happened to them during this 400 years? We'll see. We want to talk about that. There was a certain king who rose to power. What was his name? You won't find this in Bible history. You'll find it spoken of, pointed to, but not recorded history. Who was the man? What kingdom existed in this intertestamental period? Alexander the Great. Yes. Now that name rings bells to all of you, does it not? But did you know that Daniel prophesied concerning the kingdom over which Alexander the Great would rule in Daniel chapter 2 when he gives the sequence of kings beginning with Nebuchadnezzar. And then, after Nebuchadnezzar, we've got the Persians, and then we've got Alexander the Great, and then we've got the Roman Empire. And what was it that God said would occur during the days of the kings of the Roman Empire? God would set up his kingdom. So we see the necessity of these sequence of kings. That's right. That's right. Details. The 11th chapter. Yes. Yes. In the second chapter, more of a general statement regarding the existence of that third kingdom. Okay? So we're not going to do a detailed study now of Daniel chapter 11, but we are going to discuss in this point in history the people of God in the kingdom of Alexander, or what we have noted here, the Grecian society. That is the kingdom of Alexander the Great. Yes. No, no, they are not. And that really throws us a curve sometimes. For example, the book of Job, we think that that occurred along the time of David because it's before the Psalms. And that's really not true. Most scholars believe that Job existed or lived around the time of Abraham. So we don't have a chronological order of the books in the Old Testament. But we do have a chronological order of history described in the Old Testament. So that's where we're going. Okay? All right? In chapter 39, this period between the Testaments is an interesting period that we don't generally study in biblical history. The period identified on the board is called the Maccabean Revolt. This was a period of time when a fellow by the name of, I just lost his name, Maccabees was, Judas Maccabees, came to revolt against the empire of Syria. And as they were trying to come down and take the city of Jerusalem, and so we've got this rebellion of the Jews against their enemies who had defiled the temple, who had offered unclean animals on the altar, and these Jews revolted. And so we'll talk about that period of time. Now, in lesson number 40, the time draws near. The chronology of these Bible events, let me again help you or insist that we see the importance of that. When we look at the Old Testament, Testament prophecies beginning in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. Abraham, Genesis 12, jumping way down into the future. When we talk about the prophecies of David, the prophecies that were given to David regarding the establishment of his throne. We're looking way down the road from those Old Testament prophecies. When we look at the prophecy of Isaiah and Daniel and Joel, these prophets point to a period that they refer to as the latter or the last days. Now, when we come into the New Testament with the preaching of John the Baptist, John says the kingdom is at hand. No longer do we see prophecies down the pike, way back down the pike, prophesying that it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. John said it's near. And when Jesus prophesied, he said it's near. He preached the same message relative to that. He sent out the apostles and the disciples likewise to preach that it's near. In fact, in Mark chapter 9, verse 1, Jesus tells those in that audience just how near it was. How near was it? All right, it will occur during the lifetime of some of you in this audience. So we see time drawing near in lesson number 40. And then we're going to have a study of the period of biblical silence, a review. Now, lesson 42, we'll talk about the Herodian family. Now, the necessity of that to our study is to line up the ducks for the coming of Jesus. And we'll talk then about the life of Christ, his earthly ministry. And then we'll talk about the geography of the Gospels, where Jesus went, where the disciples preached, and the significance of those places. And then, of course, we're going to study Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 has been referred to as the hub of the Bible. That's where it all comes together, in Acts chapter 2. Now, when we think of the promise, I love to talk about the promise, as many of you know. When we look back in Genesis chapter 12 with the promise made to Abraham, in thy seed shall all families of the earth be blessed. We've talked about that in the Galatian study. We've talked about it in the Ephesian study. We've talked about it in the Hebrew study. We've talked about it a lot. But we're going to see where time was or became full in Acts chapter 2 with the statement of the Apostle Peter when the Jews who had crucified the Lord asked the question, what shall we do? Peter said, repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for to you is the promise. Who's the you? The Jews. For to you is the promise, and to your children, who are they? Their descendants. And as many as are far off, who's that? The Gentiles. For to you is the promise, your children, and to all that are afar, as many as shall call upon the name of the Lord. What was promised to Jews and Gentiles? Forgiveness of sins. Now you see that starting all the way back in Genesis 3, don't you? With the seed of woman that would bruise the head of the serpent. Now that all ties together and fits just like a glove, doesn't it? Now I want you to see that. Kingdom of heaven is established. Now, once the kingdom is established, we've got the apostles going here, yonder, and where, preaching the promise. Preaching the promise. When we look at Paul's early work, we're going to talk about his conversion, places that he went, the three preaching tours that he went on, some of the things that were involved in that, the second journey and the third journey, where he ultimately was arrested in the city of Jerusalem and then taken to Rome, where he was in Roman imprisonment for 2 years. And, of course, then we're going to have a review of the book of Acts. Now, on this chart right here, do you see the four Gospels and the book of Acts? You say, ooh, this is going to be a long study. Well, it's not going to be as detailed as it could be, but we do want to see these things as they develop. In lesson number 51, close of the first century, and then a review of the geography of this portion of our study. Now, are there any questions or comments just here? Have it generated any interest on on behalf of anybody about this study. Well, we're not there yet. We're still introducing. All right? Yes, Julie? Have it planned right now for a Sunday, Wednesday, okay, instead of once a week. Yeah. My hope is, and if it runs into a problem, we'll talk about it, but my desire is that we can keep it moving so that those of you who are teachers in the back won't miss the continuity of the study. Now, you're going to have some work to do at home, obviously, to stay up. But I don't think that you'll just lose out because you're teaching the class. Yes, good. Very good. Very good. Now, you see the beginning of the book on this chart. Now, I've got to show you this because some charts that we are using in this series of lessons are designed by this gentleman, Richard Thetford. Now, one of the blessings that he's done with these charts is he has made them usable. And by that, I simply mean that you're not locked into his format. He's got some good material, but that doesn't mean we're going to follow it exactly to the letter. What that does mean is he has made it where I can modify it and put in things that I want to discuss and maybe leave out things that I particularly don't want to discuss in this series of studies. So that's good, but I have to put this up here so you'll know that this material has been submitted by Richard Thetford, and the material is based on the book that you hold in your lap, History and Geography of the Bible, and the maps that are in your book are the maps that's in this material. Now, one of the things, once again, we may use other maps or modify some of these for our own purposes. But you need to know that, and you need to see that. Now, in our history of, or study of the history and geography of the Bible, the importance of that begins with man being an intelligent creature. Now, that answers a lot of questions. What makes a place important? When we look at the desert, for example, and you go out to such places as stage stop up by Roseman? Willow Springs. When you go up to Willow Springs, any of you ever been up there? Maybe you've gone to Barrel Springs. Any of those places bring any kind of interest to your mind? Now, it's not our I'm using this as an illustration, all right? When you go to Willow Springs, you're told and you see old buildings and you understand that's where years ago the stage stopped. Well, why did the stage stop there? Water. Right, water there. The very existence of water, as far as geography is concerned, made that place important. But it would not have been important at all if people didn't stop there. So now it's on the map. When you go down to Barrel Springs and you study the history of Barrel Springs, you know that it too was a stage stop. Now, it's not my purpose to discuss local history, but I do want to illustrate this point, that what makes a place important? Well, that would be the people that were there. You see, if there wasn't any people there, there would be no history. There wouldn't be anything significant about that. But what we want to do in this study is come to appreciate the places where these people live and talk about their lives and how that these places became very important to them and therefore very important to the overall scheme of redemption. For example, when you read of famines in certain parts of the world, you read of famines in biblical history. When you come to New Testament times in Acts chapter 11, you note that Agabus came down from Jerusalem and prophesied that there was going to be a famine in the land of Judea. Have you ever thought about how that famine affected brethren? And how that famine affected the history of the Lord's church, and how that famine affected the pattern of how brethren deal with needs, physical needs, of their brethren during such times. But you see, if there had never been any famines, you wouldn't have that history of the importance of Antioch and the work that they did, and the organization of the church and so forth, what we want to do in our study is to see what makes places important. So we're going to tie these events together with our maps.